I'm pacifist myself, I'm Quaker, and one of the things I've been very aware of is the economic draft. Exactly what you say happens that area. You know, you want to get to college, you want to have some economic opportunity. Well, this is one of the few things that's open to a lot of people. Is that something that's seen gratefully, or is it seen regretfully that that's the only choice you get?
That's a tough one, because there are certainly people who are extremely grateful. It's kind of split. I mean, honestly, there's a huge percentage of people around this area. Maybe it's the same everywhere, but this is the one I know, at least around here, that are extremely grateful for what the military did for them. However, most of those folks aren't ones that went into combat roles, and I think one of the things that was sort of misunderstood about the whole situation is that you can go into the military, especially the way wars are fought these days, you know, with less people on the ground running around with, you know, M16s than there used to be. You know, you can go in and end up in a non-combat role and not have things happen like bullets flying through your hand. And I think, you know, a higher percentage of those guys are grateful for it than the ones that ended up in the Marine Corps, for instance, and on the ground. And the difference, the strange thing with Long Lake was that a really, really high percentage of the people that went into the Marine Corps infantry. So we had a lot of guys that really did go over there and see live combat and some serious stuff. And I would say that the percentage of those guys that is grateful and thrilled for what the military did for them is certainly lower. Yeah, this was a nasty war on people. Really, really bad. And the guys that came back uninjured were not uninjured.
I think that's probably the case historically, too, except that we maybe pay a little bit more attention to it. You know, we have things, descriptions of being shell-shocked and other things, but now we know post-traumatic stress disorder, or actually there's something else that's called moral injury, when you actually see that you're killing a person. Most of us are not raised to think that that's what you're supposed to do. It's just that that person over there with his kids and this person, me over here and my family, and of course, we see real people. It makes it hard for a lot of us.
And I think part of the, if there's something unique to this particular war, it's that there's no uniforms involved. I mean, it's like these guys, you know, when they're out on patrol, walking around the cities and whatnot, they're just constantly being on edge. It's crazy because you just don't know what the enemy looks like. It's so much less defined. There's kids involved. There's the suicide bombings, the things that are not typical. But, you know, it's not the way that we thought of warfare before this conflict. It's not people wearing uniforms and clear-cut lines between them and differentiation between civilian and soldier. It's just not there anymore. That's tough on guys.
Actually, that's a big change that's happened over the last 100, 150 years. It used to be that 8 out of 9 casualties were military people, and now 8 out of 9 casualties are civilians.
Yeah, I believe it.
So it's a lot harder. If you're fighting with a person who's fighting with you, there's a certain sense of, well, either he dies or I die, but
yeah, he signed up for this at least, you know?
Yeah, it makes it a lot harder to stomach it.